Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of life. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed and deeply nourished by the preaching of the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word that brings light and understanding, the entrance of the same that brings clarity and understanding. Thank you because we find direction, we find illumination, we find instruction. Thank you, Father, because no sound under the sound of my voice will remain the same after this broadcast. Your word of God will cause a change, a drastic change and transformation in our lives that will not be forgotten. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Welcome you to another time in the Word on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And then we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. What exactly does spiritual growth look like? What does it look like? How do I know a man that is growing in the faith? Not just about knowing others. How do I know if I am growing in the faith? Am I making progress in the faith? What are the fruits to look out for in my life as a Christian? Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. I know there's a whole lot of panic and fear and confusion and bad news, dreadful news flying around on the media. There's no better time for you to immerse your mind in the Word of God than now. You see, these news, they are not false news. I mean, they are happening, things that are happening in the world, in our world today. So it's right, they are reporting rightly, but it's bad news for your mind. It's going to do you a lot of damage and harm if you don't focus on the Word of God. If you keep exposing your mind to the statistics and statistics of infected people and the death tolls and all that, and you do not spend a lot of time in the Word of God, you are never going to have peace of mind through these times. Hallelujah. And I want to assure you, this will pass. Praise God. This will pass. I've heard a lot of reports. I've heard a lot of predictions. But I'm saying to you, I believe what I'm saying to you, that this will pass away. Hallelujah. And we all are going to be alive to tell the story. Glory to God. You know, we curse every evil report. You know, sometimes when people say what they can see and what they envisage, it is right according to them. It is good according to them. I mean, not good in terms of what it is, but you know, it's good that they are saying it. It's fact. It's their reality. That is what they can appraise. Hallelujah. Naturally, or judge. That is how they can make sense of the situation. Exactly the same way the 12 spies were sent to spy out on the land of Canaan, and then 10 of them came back to say what they saw. See, what they were saying, what they reported to Moses were the things they saw. Hallelujah. The things they saw, the things they found out in the land, they were being realistic. But the Bible calls it an evil report. Praise God. So, we silence every evil report in this nation concerning the spread of this virus, and we declare that the will of God alone will stand. We know the will of God. The will of God is that all men should be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some have said that God is fighting the world and God is trying to destroy the world. And even a prominent preacher in Nigeria has come out to say that God is trying to prove to the world that he's the Almighty. And all such reports, I do not believe or subscribe to those kind of thoughts. God desires that men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And this is what the Holy Ghost is seeking to achieve, even right now. This is what the Holy Ghost has always been seeking to do in every nation at all times, ever since Jesus died and rose again died on that cross and rose again and ascended. God's desire and will is to save men. Hallelujah. And then God is long suffering towards us. So God has not lost his temper and then is unleashing terror and wrath and judgment on the world. That's not true. So let's resist every false news, every false information, and let's stay with the word of God. And we're going to be alive to tell the story, You are going to be kept. I'm going to be kept. Our relatives, our families, our friends, we are going to be kept through these times in the name of Jesus. And we speak comfort to the land. We speak that the end of the evil one be altered in the spread of this virus. Glory to God. We pray speedy discoveries in the world to tackle this situation. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So back to our study, spiritual and what it looks like. So after we've seen and considered some scriptures, the right yardstick of judgment or the right way to appraise and to test for spiritual growth in the life of any believer, we began to consider things that you must do to grow spiritually. Things you must do to abound in every good work. Things you must do to make progress in the Christian faith. Now look at those things. And the first thing I began to point out is the fact that you must be taught. Praise God. You must be taught. And not just be taught by anybody or any kind of, you know, resource or material. You must be taught sound doctrine. Praise God. That is the only thing that brings spiritual growth. And that was the reason why we embarked on seeing what to look out for in a ministry gift. I want to encourage you, if you're just joining this broadcast, to go look for those previous episodes and find out what you are to look out for in ministry gifts. That is what we are still looking at today. In the last episode, I showed you how that we must look out for what the apostles said in every ministry. Not only that, we must also look out for how the apostles said what they said in the ministry gift. Praise God. That is, if I want to receive from a man, I want to look at his emphasis. Is he saying what the apostles said? Number two, is he saying it the same way the apostles said it? Praise God. Because it is not just about saying what they said. I mean, you could just quote a portion of scripture and then you are quoting Paul. You are quoting him verbatim. You are quoting any of the apostles. You might even be quoting Jesus Christ the Lord. But then your explanation and interpretation betrays the intention of these authors and writers. Hallelujah. You can quote people and misinterpret what you are quoting. So it is not just enough for you to say the things they say or to quote from the Bible. It is required of you to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Bible says, study or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says, be diligent to present yourself in this way. Hallelujah. So the diligence is not just in learning how to recite scriptures or learning how to quote scriptures. It is not just in learning how to memorize so that when you need scriptures, it just comes to you. The diligence is to be found in your explaining and interpretation of the scriptures. You must be diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. So that is what we are looking out for in a ministry gift. Is he saying what the apostle said? And is he rightly saying these things? Hallelujah. Is he saying what the apostle said? And is he saying these things the way the apostles said it? Glory to God. Now, the reason why we must watch out or look out for apostolic doctrine is because, like I mentioned at the beginning, that Jesus handed the ministry to these men. It was to them that Jesus committed the doctrine of the New Testament. That's why the Bible says in Acts 2 verse 42, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. What they continued in is referred to as the apostles' doctrine, apostolic teaching. That which the apostles taught and shared was what the church gave attention to. That is what they knew as the message or as the gospel in those days. Hallelujah. And then, you know, Jesus gave them instruction at Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15. You find the instructions in scriptures. Instructions given to this particular set of people to take the gospel to the world. So you and I do not have a right to invent or innovate our own message. We only have to look out for what the apostles that were commissioned by Jesus, we need to look out for what they taught and then just teach the same. Hallelujah. In the ministry, there's more nobility and dignity in saying that which has been said than in saying what no one else has said before. I'll say that again. In ministry, there is more dignity and nobility in saying that which has been said by the apostles than in saying that which nobody else has said. Hallelujah. You know, the world prides itself in innovation, saying something nobody has said, inventing things and doing things that nobody has done. But in Christianity, what we pride ourselves in is in saying that which has been said, repeating the things that have been said. Hallelujah. It's about just saying the things that have been said the way they have been said. Hallelujah. So at Mark 16, glory to God. Okay, let's see Matthew first. And then we'll go to Mark. Matthew 28, Bible says from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What are they meant to, or what were they meant to teach? What were they meant to pass across to others? He says, all things that I have commanded you. Hallelujah. The word commanded there actually means all, everything I've instructed you. Doctrine. He wasn't talking about laws and rules. He was talking about doctrine. Instructions in righteousness. The truth of the gospel. So, you are to teach all that I have commanded you. Notice that was said in past tense. Hallelujah. It is not to teach them everything I will keep teaching you. So, for the apostles, it was not that they kept having new revelation and new insights. No. That which they taught were the things that they were taught. The things they had been commanded. The things that had been made clear to them. Hallelujah. I would say that Acts of Apostles chapter 1, how that Jesus appeared to the disciples or the apostles for a period of 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus literally opened their understanding. Luke 24 tells us that they might comprehend the scriptures. So he gave them the key to interpreting the Bible, the key to interpreting the Old Testament scriptures. And so the apostles had a lot of insights from that discourse, a lot of insights into the mind of God, into the purpose of God and the plan of God from that teaching. So that was the message they took to the world. The things that I have commanded you. Praise God. Look at Mark's gospel. Hallelujah. Mark's gospel chapter 16. Oh, glory to God. Mark's gospel chapter 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark's gospel chapter 16. Look at this carefully. Instruction was given to them to take to the world that which they had received from Christ. Mark 16, I'll read from verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe is condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. Bible says they went everywhere preaching the gospel, preaching. They went everywhere and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Hallelujah. So, there was a message that was passed on to them, that was entrusted to them. Are you getting the point? It was to them that Jesus entrusted this message. And this is why we are looking out for apostolic doctrine. What the apostles said. Hallelujah. They are the custodians of the truth. Look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2. It's the apostles that Jesus entrusted the message to. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll start from verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? By who? By the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. It was confirmed to us by those who heard him. It was first spoken by the Lord. Have you seen? So the Lord taught them. And then they now spoke to us. Glory be to God. So the apostles are the custodians of the truth. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter and chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 10. Bible says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things angels desire to look into. So when people say, I want to get an insight from the Spirit of God, he says those who reported the facts of the gospel to you, they did so by the ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we are not looking for a revelation in the Spirit. The revelation has been ministered to us by the apostles, by the Spirit of Christ. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. So I judge a sound ministry gift by the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. I judge a sound ministry gift by the apostles' doctrine, by apostolic teaching. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. Praise God. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1. Paul speaking, he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let a man consider us, we the apostles, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So they are the custodians of the truth. If a man is going to be doctrinally right and accurate today, if a man is going to maintain doctrinal purity and integrity today, he must abide by the things that the apostles taught. He must be faithful to apostolic doctrine. Glory be to Jesus. He has to be faithful to apostolic doctrine because the Holy Ghost has ministered the word through them. The Holy Ghost has communicated the revelation of the Christ through the apostles. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians in chapter 2. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. So there's no need to be innovative. A preacher that cannot stay with the emphasis of the apostles and cannot explain things the exact way they explain those things is not worth hearing. Hallelujah. A preacher that wants to innovate and say things differently from what the apostles said and taught is a preacher that is not worth hearing. You will not find spiritual growth in his ministry. Hallelujah. You can be wild intellectually. You can be, enticed. You can be excited. Praise God. You know, many times when people say, well, you say this man is not preaching the word of God, but anytime he preaches the word, I feel him. Praise God. What do you mean? You feel him. Hallelujah. It's not by feeling him. It's about what the word says. Praise God. So the truth is you can feel a man. You can feel him. Anytime he steps on the stage or steps on the pulpit, it triggers your emotions in such a way that you are feeling so high. You are feeling like God is in his message. But then, the moment we look through scriptures and we put his sermon under the scrutiny of the word of God and it does not stand the test, then whatever you felt is not of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 2. Look at this carefully. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 19. Bible says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He says you've been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And listen, when he says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, it's about their revelation. Hallelujah. It's about what? Their revelation, the things they taught, their revelation knowledge, their doctrine. We are built upon the doctrine and the revelation and the knowledge of the apostles, on the teaching ministry of the apostles. Praise God. And we'll find a corroboration for this elsewhere in one of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. Being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets speaks of being built on their revelation of the Christ, that which they said and taught concerning Jesus. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 10. The Bible says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built on it. Praise God. I have laid the foundation and another built on it. How did Paul lay the foundation? He taught the gospel. Glory to Jesus. He reached out to these men with the truth of Christ, with the truth of redemption. That's why he says at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified." That was exactly how Paul laid the foundation, and then another was now building on it. So he says, "But let each one take it how he built on it, for no other foundation," verse 11, "can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Have you seen? The foundation laid is Christ, the revelation of the Son of God. The revelation of what he has done for humanity. A revelation of the truth concerning his redemptive impact. That is what it means to be built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You notice that when we read 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 10 down to verse 12, we saw how that it was the prophet who first prophesied these things by the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Bible says the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he testified before and the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Hallelujah. So we are built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Both the prophets and the apostles had a common message. They prophesied it in the Old Testament and the apostles are now explaining it as they received from Christ. Hallelujah. So being built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, it's about being built on their revelation concerning Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen, what Paul said at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 is so instructive. He says nobody can lay any other foundation. Hallelujah. That is, there's no other revelation to be taught or to be shared. There's no other revelation to be discovered as the foundational truth, the core of the Christian faith, apart from the things that they taught. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 16. We'll get back to Ephesians and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2 and then I'll begin a close. Hallelujah. Romans in chapter 16. The revelation was given to the apostles and then the apostles gave it to the church. Praise God. So the church is not under pressure to come up with what to preach or how to interpret the scriptures. We only follow apostolic doctrine, apostolic teaching, that which they said and how they said it, and we are safe. Romans in chapter 16, I'll read from verse 25. Bible says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Listen to how Paul speaks about this. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." Hallelujah. I mean, you and I cannot say my gospel. Paul personalized it because he received it from the Lord as an apostle. He's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by what? The prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul is showing us where his gospel came from. He says it came from the prophetic scriptures. So it is about the prophets and the apostles. It is about the revelation, the ministry, the knowledge found in the ministry of the apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. That is what the church is built on. That is what any sound minister of the gospel today is expected to preach. You are simply meant to repeat that which the apostles have said and stated in their letters. Hallelujah. Let us see Ephesians in chapter 3. Glory to God. You know, we read Ephesians chapter 2. So let's read down to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It was introduced for easy referencing. So let's just read the whole thing without the chapters now. So that means the truth communicated in Ephesians 2 flowed right into Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. So at Ephesians 2, he says, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord and all that. So then it gets to chapter 3. It's the same thoughts. It says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Hallelujah. Did you notice that? It says, it was given to me for you. Hallelujah. That is the revelation, the grace of God, this revelation, the insight was not given to you. Praise God. This dispensation of the grace of God, when he says dispensation of the grace of God, he's talking about the revelation of Christ. The revelation, that is the dispensation, the administration of that message was not committed to you. It was given to me for you. And the only reason why you are going to have access to it is if you make contact with me as the vessel, the one sent, the custodian of this grace. Now listen, no preacher of the gospel can say the same today. The apostles could say this in their own rights because they were the ones that were entrusted with the message. Glory to God. So he says, it was given to me for you, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Who was the mystery made known to? He says, he made known to me the mystery, the apostle Paul. Hallelujah. And of course, the other apostles. He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. He says, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, when you read what I have written. Hallelujah. There's no way you're going to have access to this information or this revelation without you reading that which we have said. That's what Paul is saying here. When you read, you're going to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, listen, verse 5, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to who? His holy apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. The Spirit did not reveal it to the church. The Holy Ghost did not reveal it to you and I. The Holy Ghost did not go around the world seeking people, individuals to reveal these things to. The Bible says he revealed them to his holy apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. That's why it's so funny today when somebody says, I get my insight or revelation from the Spirit. From the Spirit. The word for the now and things like that. There's no such thing. Hallelujah. The only way to get the message of the Spirit today is to look intently into the letters of the apostles. That is where the Holy Ghost is speaking today. The Holy Ghost is speaking to the church and to the world today via the letters and the ministries of the apostles. Though they are dead and gone, their message is here with us today. Documented. Hallelujah. So the insight was not given to you. The insight or the revelation was not given to me. The insight and the revelation of Christ was given to the apostles and the prophets for me. They were given to the apostles and the prophets for you. Hallelujah. So in looking out for a sound ministry gift, I'm looking for a man who is devoted to apostolic doctrine. A man who is devoted to that which the apostles said. To the message and the ministry of the apostles. To that which the Holy Ghost is communicating or has communicated through the apostles to the church. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a man who sounds different or a man who sounds innovative. A man who sounds very, very strange and unique. I'm looking for a man who says the exact things that the apostle said. Hallelujah. So I'm not looking for a man that is innovative or a man that is always looking for something new to say. I'm looking for a man that is devoted to the old message of the apostles. Hallelujah. The same whole doctrine of the apostles of Christ. Glory to God. And you see, the apostles of Christ taught it from the letters of the prophets. Praise God. They taught it from the epistles, or let me say from the books of the prophets, from the scriptures of the Old Testament prophets. Look at this now as I close. Hallelujah. Second Peter, Paul was recounting his experience with Jesus and some of the other disciples on the mount that has been described as the Mount of Transfiguration. The transfiguration happened once, I'm sure. But from that day, that mount took on a new name. Amen. And then we have often referred to it as the Mount of Transfiguration. Praise God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 16. Peter speaking, he says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard his voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So Peter is saying that we had an experience with Jesus. We heard the voice from the heavens. We heard a voice say to us, "This is my beloved Son." He says, we heard it from the excellent glory, saying to us that "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Now, hear what he's about to say. Verse 19. Peter then says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." Now, this is one of the few times when the NKJV, which is the version of the Bible that I'm using, is not doing justice to what Peter was saying here. The KJV actually says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Hallelujah. That is, see, we heard his voice from the excellent glory. We were with him on the mountain. We had the transfiguration experience. We saw him. We saw Elijah. We saw Moses with him. We heard a voice from the clouds. "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So dramatic and spectacular. He says, see, guys, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Don't pay attention to our experience. Don't pay attention to the fact that we had a voice on the mountain. We have something that is sure. Hallelujah. The word "more sure" there speaks of something that is stable, reliable, firm, and trustworthy. Hallelujah. More sure because what he said about the experience with Jesus happened in truth. It is not a falsified event. Hallelujah. It says we did not follow cunningly devised fables. We actually were with him on the holy mountain. We had this experience. So it is true. It is sure. But then, that which is more sure is the scriptures, not our experience. So Peter is showing us the source of their revelation. It's from the scriptures. So they also did not innovate or invent their message. They received from Jesus the explanation of the prophets, and they took the same and handed it over to the church. Glory be to God. So they did not invent their messages. They were only faithful to that which they were taught, that which they received. And then he wants us to pay attention to the scriptures. He wants us to pay attention to that which they taught from the scriptures. He wants us to pay attention to the message and not to visions and revelations and experiences of men. Glory to God. This is why when reading through their letters, you find out that they were not bombarding us with their experiences with Christ. Hallelujah. The kind of experiences that they had with him, the kind of, moves and, operations, the kind of visions, they were not bombarding us with many things. Hallelujah. You read through their letters and you find the purity of the gospel, the doctrine of Christ, because that is what they wanted us to see and to know. Hallelujah. That was what they wanted us to see and to know. So, in looking for a sound ministry gift, you must follow the same pattern of the message of the apostles, what they taught, and now they taught it. We'll continue from here in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, spiritual songs, and prayer, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.